The outgoing police chief says he's proud of his tenure in Fargo and says the next great leader might be in the house already. But not everybody is happy at City Hall with how the news broke. The outgoing winter season isn't dead yet. For listeners in the north half of our coverage area, things are about to get very interesting. And the incoming leader of Iran sounds an awful lot like the old guy, his dad. Funny how that happens. And he's not sounding all that interested in giving up anytime soon. Good morning, my friend. Good to be with you here today on the Steve Alstrom Show. I'm coming to you live from Grand Rapids, Minnesota, also known this morning as the Belly of the Beast, because over here the weather's going to get really interesting later today. This is a two-day trip for me over to Grand Rapids, where we've got a group of radio stations. And not to be confused with Grand Rapids, North Dakota, where I guess maybe there could someday be a group of three radio stations, but there isn't right now. So I planned this trip a couple of weeks ago, and as I started getting closer here over the last few days, I said, you know, I should check to see if there's going to be any weather, because you just never know. There wasn't really much of anything planned to hit Fargo, the Valley, eastern North Dakota, at least southeast North Dakota. And but I always check anyway, and I took a look yesterday. I'm like, oh, so it's going to be like that over there. So I'm glad it was planned to be a two-day trip, because I don't think I was coming home tonight, even if I would have wanted to. Good news, though, Grand Rapids is a heck of a fun place to spend a couple of days, so we will do that. I hope you are off to a great start in your day, my friend, or maybe your day's half over or just finishing up, about ready to head to bed, whatever your situation is. Thanks a ton for hanging out with me here for a little bit on the program today. So we are guest-free on the show today, and this happens every once in a while, usually by accident, when you call a bunch of people and say, hey, let's talk about some of the interesting things going on in the world, and they say, yeah, you know, can't make it this day, or in the case of today, a couple of guests had been planned and said, hey, plans have changed. I said, I get it. But you know what? That's good, because there is so much interesting stuff going on, and there's so much good sound in the world today. Like, this could literally be a whole show of best thing I heard all day. I literally found about 10 clips in the different places I go where I said, oh, that's really interesting. And not all of it makes me happy. Some of it makes me mad. Some of it makes me sad. Some makes me just plain old laugh. Some makes me think. And some makes me just very proud of the people in my world and yours on our side of the fight here. So there's a lot of good stuff today. We're going to play a bunch of interesting clips for you on the show today. But that will give you a great opportunity to call in. If there's something you want to say here about the show, or maybe something I've been talking about, something that you want to say, you know, I'm not really much of a fighter, but I think that Hallstrom is dead wrong on blank. Hey, I'd love to hear from you today. I love good conversations. I love good debates. I learn something every time somebody says, you got this wrong, because that makes you say, okay, maybe I'm off a little bit on this. Maybe I have not considered X or whatever. There's a great clip from Bill Clinton out there whenever he was president. He said, our critics are really our friends because they point out our shortcomings and our weaknesses. And I've always tried to remember that. It's not always fun when someone criticizes you, but we all need to hear it, right? You have your blind spots. You have your ruts that you get into. You have your assumptions, and we all have them. And sometimes they're not all right. So if you got something where you want to say, hey, I think you're missing something here, that would be great. I'd love to hear from you. If there's something that I've been saying that you think, hey, you just nailed it on that thing, and I hope you talk about that again, happy to do that too. So whatever's on your mind today, let's have a little fun today coming around the water cooler and talking about this crazy world around us. And boy, crazy, capital C, no doubt in this day and age. I have today another, what I would say, Hall of Fame moment from the Minnesota legislature. And I use that term tongue-in-cheek. We have already had Lee Finke telling us that we should give kids access to porn because the trans kids out there may be able to actually learn something educational from the porn. So, like, just get as much as we can, throw in front of the kids. Maybe we have to lock them in a room and force them to watch porn. I don't know what the representative is thinking. I weep for our kids that are exposed to this kind of thinking, or the adults that we use that term loosely, that want to, you know, get into these storylines. So we had that one. Then we had the guy from St. Paul who was talking about, we really need to consider that shoplifting might be a healthy part of our economy. Remember, we had that a few days ago. And then we had another one yesterday. And so it's the trifecta. I don't know how you'd put them, gold, silver, bronze, because they're all equally ridiculous in their own way. So I'm going to play that for you here today on the show amid many other clips. And boy, that 2022 Minnesota legislative session, when they rammed through everything that they could, we thought that was maybe the worst session. I don't know. This one's starting to shape up that way as well. Still, as I tell you always, we got to be the happy warriors. We got to fight. We got to stand for what we believe, but we cannot let them steal our joy and our optimism. So with that, let's rock and roll here for the Steve Holmstrom Show on this Thursday. And Thursday, March 12th, how about that? Almost halfway through the month already. The Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and we're still here to remind you of that on a regular basis here on this show. So let's start with the Almanac today as we begin the Morning Wire, the semi-automatic storylines, as we give you a rapid-fire rundown of what's going on in the world. We will gain today another 3 minutes and 22 seconds of daylight, and this marks actually a kind of a milestone in our accrual of daylight. We will not gain any more than 3 minutes and 22 seconds a day of daylight. We will get 3:22 for about another 2 weeks, and then we back off a little bit. So the pace at which we gain daylight will start to slow down, but not for about another couple of weeks yet. But this is the month. We will not gain daylight any faster than we are getting it today. And if you are in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, where I usually am and where my buddy Addison is hanging out today producing the show, sunset at 7:28 tonight, and driving out to Grand Rapids last night, boy, it stays light out late, and I love this time of year for that reason. Let's talk about the stock market, because we have to. Oh, boy, not pretty this morning. The Dow's down 431 points. It's actually bounced back. It was down about 600 about 20 minutes ago when I first brought up this screen. So maybe somebody found some good news. I don't know. S&P 500 is down 57. The NASDAQ down 262. So more red ink in the markets today. I believe very strongly that this is like April of last year. Remember when Trump put the tariffs in, or said he was going to, and we had the day of whatever they called the day of reckoning or the day of enlightenment or whatever they called that, and the markets just tanked. And I said, you guys, I would be buying if I had the money to do it. I didn't then. I was able to pick up some stuff right around Christmas time when I was finally able to save up a couple of shekels. This is another one of those times. This war is not going to go forever and ever. It just honestly can't. And once I think people are, they see the other side of this and say, okay, now we know what the worst looks like, and let's kind of go the other direction, that emotional enthusiasm will begin. And one thing we've noticed about the traders, they are worriers and they're a little woke. So when you see things where it's like, oh, Trump's an idiot, this is going to go on forever, that's the time to buy. So it's not a bad time to buy right now. I think we're going to look back here. I don't know. Somebody write down what the Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ are right now and see what happens coming up in the days ahead. Because my guess is 2-3 months from now, we're sitting 10 to 15% higher on most of these things. That's just my guess. We'll see what happens. WTI crude oil, well, that doesn't need to go any higher. Iran is basically saying, we are going to cut off the Strait of Hormuz and make it so that nobody can get anything out. And so oil prices are jumping. It is another one. I don't know how to trade oil. I probably don't want to start trading. But if I could start shorting oil here at some point, I would do that, because it's as bad as it's going to get. Maybe not quite the peak, but boy, I've got to think we're going to go in a different direction here pretty soon. Gold today is down $11.60. And silver is up 94 cents. So we got that going for us. Bitcoin today, if you're a Bitcoiner, up about $1,000 at 70,467. It looks like Bitcoin has kind of stopped the free fall building a base here over the last week or so. All right, well, I had so much fun talking at the beginning of the show about all the weird things going on with the weather and all that, that I've left myself a little shortchanged on the news stories of the day. So take a break. We're going to come back, and I'll give you all of the news stories that you need to know about today as we finish up the Morning Wire. That when we come back on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Row and Joe Junk Haul Removal is your first and really only call to make sure that if you've got a pile of junk you need to get rid of, that you get rid of it quick and efficiently. There are people that do this work and they come into town in the spring, or maybe they give you a 1-800 number to call and you see a little yard sign somewhere around town. You think, oh, maybe I should trust them because they got a little yard sign out there. Well, we've found that those kind of people, they're not here to do business. They don't pay their bills. There's all kinds of problems with the fly-by-nighters. You don't want to trust that work to people that just fly in and hope that they get a little bit of business. And they don't really care how the job goes or what sort of damage they leave behind in their wake. That's why you call my buddy John Minton at Roen Joe Junk Haul and Removal. RoenJoeJunk.com, RoenJoeJunk.com. Commercial, residential, they can do it all. Clearing out, cleaning out, getting all that stuff out of there. You need some light demo done to get all the stuff out, they can do that for you too. And they travel within about 60 miles of the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area. My buddy John is a 30-year combat vet, puts his name on it. That means that, you know, he and his family are standing behind the work that they do. And he's right here in the community, and those are the people you want to work with. When it's got to go, call Roen Joe. Roen Joe Junk Haul and Removal online at RoenJoeJunk.com. RoenJoeJunk.com. All right, 21 past the hour here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Thank you, my friend, for hanging out with me today. Here is a little digest of stories that are making headlines here around the region. As we've been talking about all morning, a powerful spring slash late winter a weather system is moving in. We're looking at wind advisories across most of North Dakota and western Minnesota. We could get wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour, Dean says. There's a winter storm warning for parts of northern Minnesota and certain parts of far northeastern North Dakota as well. Travel on I-94, Highway 10 could be treacherous by this afternoon. I-29 will see its share of activity here. I don't know that it's necessarily fake spring yet, because it hasn't been that nice for that long, but this is what we just get. That, you know, March and April is kind of one of those unsettled weather periods. Dean's going to join us in just a few minutes to give us the lay of the land on this one. So you're grilling one day, and next day you're finding your parka here. Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski officially announced that he is retiring, resigning. I'm not sure. The press release that he sent out, or that they sent out, said that he is retiring from the Fargo Police Force. But then he talked about being done with law enforcement after 40-some years doing the job there. Said yesterday at the press conference he's leaving on a good note, proud of the professional standards and technology he brought to the force since 2020. He, in a move that caught some people off guard, he gave a strong recommendation that Assistant Chief Travis Stefanowicz be named the interim chief. And he said that Travis has got the continuity and internal respect needed to keep the department steady there. Been a little backlash. I heard from Commissioner Turnberg and also Denise Kolpak, Commissioner Kolpak, that they are both very disappointed in how this news was communicated. Only a few people were aware, but the city commissioners are supposed to get notice of this right away. And I think that there was some did, some didn't. And I think there's some frustration there about the communication that is happening there. Maybe it's good that we'll have a new mayor coming up here in a little bit, because that's something that the mayor would typically say, okay, you know, direct traffic on that one there. In the war in Iran, 56-year-old Mojtaba Khomeini, the second son of the late Ayatollah Khomeini, made his first public statement yesterday. He made it through state media, and it was read on air by a news anchor, fueling speculation that he might not be okay, severely injured or possibly dead. He explicitly called for using leverage on the Strait of Hormuz, signaling that Iran is going to fully attempt to block the waterway where 20% of the world's oil flows. He warned that attacks on Gulf Arab neighbors will continue as long as they provide any support or airspace to U.S. and Israeli forces. He declared that Iran is prepared for a long-term war of attrition designed specifically to destroy the American economy, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. This is why I tell you, when the president says we're going to finish this until we've won and they've unconditionally surrendered, I don't know if that's possible unless you kill every single one of them. I think that's the only way this ends. You've got to get everybody who is part of that regime. I don't know how many levels deep. I don't know how deep the bench is. But to me, this feels like if the president is really going to follow through on that commitment, we're going to be there for a while. We'll see what happens. Speaking of oil in the Strait of Hormuz, all of this attention on oil made the price of WTI crude touch $100 a barrel this morning. So, not much fun on that. Gas prices are well over $3 now in Minnesota. When I was driving through, I think I saw $3.29, which means we're up about 60 cents or so from where we were when I drove through here a couple of weeks ago. My guess is we're going a little higher, too. Oil prices affect gas prices, obviously, and they sometimes take a little bit to fully sink in there. We're going to see what happens there. The Treasury Department reported that the U.S. budget deficit topped $1.1 trillion for the first five months of the fiscal year, technically running slightly below last year's pace, but when you're already $39 trillion in the hole, losing money slower isn't exactly a win. So it's getting better, but not all that much all that fast. Meanwhile, stop me if you've heard this story before. The state of Minnesota had a software project, and they've completely blown the cost estimates of this. They're $50 million over what was approved for them to spend on this. It's an overhaul of the software used by Minnesota's state colleges and universities, but it's becoming a fiscal nightmare. Basically, anything that the state of Minnesota tells you as far as a price for something they're going to do, just double it, and you might be close by it's all by the time it's all figured out. Yeah, I don't know if it's corruption or incompetence. I don't really know if it matters at this point, but I hope voters remember that when they go to the polls, that the party in charge, they are the people that to me, it's got to be, well, let's say something. It might be more than that, but let's just make this seem okay for right now. It sure feels like that's the deal right there. And MSU Moorhead is launching a new cybercrime investigation and digital forensics program starting this fall. Some of the stories that are making headlines here this morning. All right, when we come back, Dean Wysocki live in studio. Any of our guests that appear by phone on the Steve Holmstrom Show today are brought to you courtesy of Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. They are a phone line sponsor of the program. They've recently expanded, and they can get you in fast. They have counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner over there. Make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.co. That's valleychristian.co. Please welcome Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki to the studio here this morning. Dean, appreciate you making time for me, my man. We do this show out of Fargo, but I'm traveling many times either west or east. I'm sometimes over in Watford City, out in the oil patch, Stanley Tioga out that way, Williston Minot. And then sometimes, like today, I am over in Grand Rapids. And based on what we get from our text line and phone calls, we have people all over the place that are listening to our programs. We're very thankful for that. The Flag Nation extends quite wide. So you've been doing a great job today keeping everybody updated on the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo scene, but I want to broaden that out for our audience that's listening in other places. If you are out in the Bakken today, Dino, this winter storm system is rolling through. How much will it affect them?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to be hammered with winds. In fact, unfortunately, there's probably going to be some wind damage out west. As winds out west are out in the Bakken, expected 65-mile-an-hour wind gusts out west. Now, they'll see a little bit of snow, not a lot, but they'll see a little bit of snow, could grease up the roadways a bit, but 65-mile-an-hour winds out in the Bakken today. So, obviously, a high fire danger along with that, with it being so dry. And the high winds are going to traverse the state from west to east as we head throughout the day.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. They'll reach the valley by around 7 o'clock tonight, so a little earlier out west. And the central pressure on this area of low pressure, it's going to strengthen as it moves across the state. And as it gets into northern Minnesota,
oh, goody.
The central pressure on this will be equivalent to a Cat 2 hurricane.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, so.
You're just full of good news
this
morning.
Oh, boy, I'm
okay,
full
so
of something.
Okay, so, Dino, the winds, just so people know, sometimes it's helpful to know what direction the wind is going to come from so you can board up the barn and stuff like that. So what direction will these winds be coming out of?
So they'll start out in the Bakken, out of the west, then change to the northwest, and then those northwest wind. It's generally going to be a northwest wind as it traverses across the state. Now, in terms of snowfall, because when you get snow with those winds, you're looking at near blizzard conditions.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing right now, we're seeing a band of snow along a warm front stretching from about Devil's Lake to just west of Jamestown. That's the warm front with this. And as that warm front moves eastward, it'll reach the valley about close to lunchtime and then into Lakes Country as we head to about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. We're going to see a band of snow or rain-snow mix along that front, and we could see a burst of some moderate to possibly heavier snow as that front reaches the valley between about noon and 2. So be prepared for that. But behind that front, it turns warmer quickly. In fact, we'll warm up into the 40s for the central and southern valley into Lakes Country. Now, in the northern valley and into northern Minnesota, that's where all the advisories and warnings are right now. In fact, between Highway 200 and Highway 2, we're looking at winter weather advisories. A lot of uncertainty. That's the area of uncertainty. A slight shift in the track of the storm could mean a big difference in those areas. But along and north of Highway 2, we're looking at a high probability of some really bad weather in terms of snow and wind. About 2 to 6 inches of snow along and north of Highway 2, but the problem is when you're factoring in 40 to 50 mile an hour winds this afternoon, and again, the key time frame would be this afternoon into the evening and early overnight hours, that's when things are going to get really bad from, let's say, right along the Canadian border north of Grand Forks through Roseau, Bemidji, Grand Rapids. Those areas could have near blizzard conditions as we head into late afternoon and evening, where travel is not going to be recommended. In that transition zone from about Bontineau through Grand Forks and east of DL, that's the kind of uncertain zone where it could go either way. We could end up with conditions a lot worse, or that warm air punches a little further north than expected and we mix in more rain where it's not that bad. But everybody gets in on the wind machine as we head into this evening and tonight with high wind warnings from, Detroit Lakes all the way west into the Bakken. So this is a wide compassing storm when it comes to the wind, but the snow, the significant snow, will be confined to the far, far northern valley. From Grafton through north of Grand Forks and then over into northern Minnesota. Those areas are going to get hit with the hardest with near blizzard conditions. They're under winter storm warnings right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see that upgraded later today to blizzard warnings, as travel is not going to be recommended in those areas.
So how about this rain you're talking about? How far north is that going to slide in? And then are we going to go into the deep freeze, so we're going to end up freezing over all that
good
slushy stuff?
Good point, yeah. Well, we're going to see the rain. It's going to go about as far north as possibly Grand Forks is. Boy, I'll tell you, right on that dividing line, it could go all snow, or the Grand Forks area stretching over into Lakes Country could mix in rain with this. They're right on that dividing line, but north of that, it's going to be all snow. So I would say the rain-snow line will probably go as far north, we'll say about 10, 20 miles south of Grand Forks. That's the way it looks right now. And then on the back side of this, so when the winds turn to the northwest, we'll see snow showers wrap in on the back side of this. Temperatures fall very quickly this evening. After about 6 o'clock, those temperatures will crash. And are we worried about flash freezing? That is a possibility, but the winds are going to be so strong, they're probably going to dry things out pretty quick. pretty quickly. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm more worried about some wind damage overnight with some of these stronger winds. That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
And then, Steve, we've got another storm system that will be quickly on its heels for the weekend. Now, that one is going to slide mainly to our south into South Dakota and southern Minnesota, where those areas could get 6 to 12 inches of snow along with wind. That would affect areas if anybody has travel plans going down towards the Twin Cities. Now, the northern extent of that weekend storm will about reach the 94 corridor with a couple inches of snow, but north of that, probably not much at all. So the weekend storm mainly to our south, and the storm today into tonight, mainly in the far northern valley and into northern Minnesota.
Okay, so let's say I'm in Detroit Lakes, Park Rapids, heading over here toward Grand Rapids. What do things look like in that pocket?
Well, Detroit Lakes looks like mainly a rain or rain-snow mix. Not that bad. A lot of wind. And the further north you go, though, up as you get into Grand Rapids, you're all snow and you're near blizzard conditions by later this afternoon.
Okay. How much snow is the worst of it going to be the Arrowhead?
Worst of it is going to be right along the Manitoba border into the Arrowhead, where those areas could get 6-8 inches of snow.
Okay.
along with the 40-50 mile an hour winds.
All right, so 6 to 8. I mean, that's just good sledding weather up here. Yeah, we don't care about that.
It is. Yeah.
So that's all fine. And if it's not any worse than that, then it might be a nuisance for a few hours. But up here, everybody's got a 4-wheel drive truck and a sled. So
right. My worry is the winds that are, even if it's, let's say it's on the low end of maybe 3-4 inches, with 50 mile an hour winds, it's going to be really difficult to get around. By late afternoon into the evening, visibility is going to tank.
Yeah.
Up in those areas.
So here's what I start thinking about now. You're talking about kind of rain, snow mix, and you know how it winds. Now, that, you know, power lines and trees and stuff like that, right? They get that cake on them, and they can snap, they can whatever. You get the power lines that start, meeting up together.
Yep.
And the sparks fly like Dino back in his college days with the ladies, sparks start flying on the weekend when things get together. The power lines might be doing a little bit of that there. So how big of a threat is that?
I think that is going to be a problem. I think there's going to end up being some wind damage with this storm system. Again, especially with the areas that get that heavier wet snow. Yeah. Like you said, that could cause a problem with power lines, maybe some tree branches down as well. Mm-hmm. So beware of that. Now, if you're a sledder and you like, and we were talking about this earlier, if you have a hankering to get one last ride in and you're looking for some really deep, fresh powder.
Go on.
The UP of Michigan. With this system coming in.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, with the system coming in over the weekend. They are going to get between 20 and 30 inches of fresh powder in the UP of Michigan, along with blizzard conditions. Now, it might be difficult to get there, but boy, you talk about a mammoth storm that's going to hit the UP of Michigan. They are going to get hammered this upcoming weekend.
Do they just get fed in by the moisture out of there with the water? Is that why they get pounded like these?
Yeah, this is going to be a 1-2 punch for the UP, because they're going to get the snow from this second system over the weekend, and this one's going to be a whopper. This one's going to be even stronger than the one going through our area today. They're going to get the 1-2 punch of the snow and then the lake effect after the storm system goes by. So, they are going to just get that'll make national headlines with the snow that they're going to get this upcoming weekend.
Am I a bad human being for saying I'd love to have one of those for us? I know that it's problematic, and I get it, law enforcement, first responders, power lines, whoever, but there's growing up, I grew up just a little bit south of where I'm sitting right now. It felt like once every 3-4 years, every couple of years, we got a haymaker where it was like 12 to 18 inches and school shut down for 2-3 days and everybody kind of stayed home and we built a fire and played games and put a pizza in the oven, and it just kind of it was sort of a holiday that you got forced upon you and nobody really wanted it, but when you had it, it was like, yeah, you catch up on your sleep, right? And everybody kind of has forgiveness about work because they're like, oh, yeah, well, I can't work today. We got all this going on.
Yep.
I miss that, Dino. I do.
And, hey, being a meteorologist, you live for those storms,
yeah,
because
right.
that sticks in your memory, and it goes down in the record books, and you can say, you know what? I was there for that. Yep.
Well, and then I remember in my early broadcasting days, I'd sleep overnight at the TV station or the radio station, wherever I was at, because you didn't know if you could get to work, but you had to be there because everybody's relying on you in the morning to say, what's going on? How bad was it? When are we going to get cleared out? When's XL going to get the power lines back on?
Exactly,
so,
right.
Those are the fun parts. But all right, I know the hate mail at Steve Hallstrom, I guess. thanks, Dean. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate the details, as always.
Thanks, man. All right. Back with more. Brett Baer blasts BlackRock. That's coming up next. I have taken the Drive with Vision studio on the road with me today to Grand Rapids, Minnesota. DriveWithVision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Love doing this show with you and for you every day. Let me know if you got something on your mind. Studio@flagfamily.com. Text line tough to make work today being out of the studio, but the phone lines are open at 701-271-1100. From the email box, Steve, if you have cattle you do not want or desire to have a severe winter storm like the good old days, like 1966. Okay, Daryl, fair point. I'm thinking of it more in terms of just kind of life and settling things down for a couple days, but you're 100% right. I don't remember the 66 storm with a lot of detail, but I know there have been some nasty ones that have been really tough. And right now we're in the middle of calving season. The purebred guys sounds like are mostly done by now, but your general breeders and guys that are trying to get calves out, this can be really tough. So I get it. I get it. And I don't want things to go tough. I got a number of friends who, farmers and ranchers, I don't want things to be tough for them. So I guess I'll officially put my hope for a big winter storm on the back burner because of that. So thank you, emailer Daryl, for talking a little sense into me here. I appreciate that. Okay, 50 past the hour here. I want to, because of just kind of how the day unfolded here, I did not get to story of the day. So story of the day, let's get that in here before we get to the top of the hour. Senate Bill 4290 has been introduced by Matt Klein of Minneapolis. And Senator Klein has proposed a bill that has become a lightning rod for Second Amendment supporters and defenders. It is one of the most aggressive gun control measures Minnesota has ever seen. It's not just a ban on future sales. It is officially titled a bill for the, quote, banishment of semi-automatic military-style assault weapons and large-capacity magazines. Well, he had one part of that label, right? Semi-automatic is all you need there. Military-style, so many people have ARs. They're not military-style anymore. It's just a style of guns that military happens to use, but there are more people that have them that are not in the military than those that use them that are, and large-capacity magazines. So this would prohibit the transfer, ownership, or possession of a long list of specific firearms like the AR-15, AK-47, and magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. The provisions are set to take effect on August 1st if it gets through. So the part that has got gun owners fired up down in the Twin Cities the most is that if you own one of these firearms, you know, a lot of times they'll say, we'll grandfather you in, let's just not have any new ones. Well, no, that's not what this is. Current owners would have to request a certificate from the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. So they want to know where all the guns are. Now, no gun owner is going to actually do this. They're going to say, come get this gun if you want, big boy, and see how that goes. But that's what the rule is. The Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus has argued that all of this will be with that regulation, and then there's something called the specific storage regulations there, and that will open the state residents to monitoring of private homes, and that they could come in and request to go into your home and look to see if you got guns. If you do not comply, it's a felony. If you fail to comply with the certificate, that would be a gross misdemeanor. So there's a whole lot of stuff here from this thing that it just scares you to death if you're someone who's passionate about this subject, which so many of us are. And this particular bill, I think, is one that people around the country are watching to see. How is this going to go? Will this get through? And Jonathan Turley, who is a lawyer, you see him often on Fox News Channel. He has a website of his own called jonathanturley.org. And he says that this is one of a few bills going forward, but you can't find one that's any worse than this one. And he says this is the most chilling legislation here. It would allow you to keep your current weapons only if you allow the police to enter your home and inspect what you have and where you're keeping it as well. So the Supreme Court, he goes on to say, has been kind of dodging these bans and haven't really taken up any of these state laws or given opinions on these state laws there. But Turley says that banning weapons like the AR-15 is arbitrary and unconstitutional. He says we have a Second Amendment protection of gun ownership, and we have more than 490 million guns in private hands. In 2008, the Supreme Court handed down a landmark ruling in D.C. versus Heller, recognizing the Second Amendment as an encompassing of individual right to bear arms. The Supreme Court further strengthened the right in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. versus Bruin. He goes on to say, the AR is the most popular gun in America. I did not know that. You may have, but the most popular gun in America. And the number of these guns in private hands is continuing to rise rapidly, with one AR-15 purchase in every five new firearm sales. I thought it would be the semi-automatic handguns, but no, it's the AR-15. It's protection, it's hunting, a target shooting as well, but... Gun owners like it because you can swap out some barrels, bolts, and high-capacity magazines and do some accessories as well. But it doesn't mean it's the most powerful gun with caliber. Many guns, he says, have equal or greater caliber. Wondering if you're following this and what you have to say on that. 701-271-1100. Hour 2 next. Hour number 2, Steve Holsham Show, coming live from the Drive with Vision studio. DriveWithVision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wappanton. 15 minutes or less. Get you in a new car, truck, or SUV, or a very nice pre-owned one. It is 8 past the hour here on the Steve Holsham Show. Thanks very much for being with me here today. We were talking about the Second Amendment story in Minnesota. And before I kind of put the end of the book on that story, it's an assault on gun rights, it seems to me, not just to limit that you can buy an AR, which is what they want to do in this case, but it's also an assault on gun rights when you put layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of regulation on those weapons as well. So, you know, you can ban the gun or whatever, or you can just make it next to impossible for anyone to actually have one. And that is, of course, what they're trying to do, the Twin Cities Democrats. I don't know that you're going to see much support from the Democrats in Mankato or Brainerd or anybody. It's harder to find them, certainly. But it is absolutely an infringement on the ability to be able to freely keep and bear arms if you make it so difficult that nobody can do it there. So my hope is that the Supreme Court gets involved here in some way at the federal level, and John Turley makes this point in his column as well, to bring some clarity to these stories and try to figure out how we can you put a preemptive strike on some of these things from happening at a federal level. That'll make it a lot easier for these states to know what they can and can't do. In the case of Minnesota, we hope that people just will figure out exactly what the right thing to do is. And it's not to do the idiocy that they're talking about there. So wanted to get that out of the way, too, before we went much further. Let's go back to the phone lines here, the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Lloyd is on the road today. Good morning, Lloyd. Where are you at today? I see that you're out running the storm. Where are you?
I'm sitting here racing to Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Okay. All right.
Anyway there, but I would just like to make my opinion clear that I was in Iowa the other day, and I was in McDonald's talking to a bunch of elderly young ladies. And they were explaining to me how Minnesota has changed their way of thinking. I think Minnesota is probably one of the greatest things that ever happened to the midterms in our history.
So what did you hear?
I just think that they're overreaching. Every which way you can in Minnesota is a total disaster, no matter which way you look at it. And this last little gun thing grab is the kind of the straw that's going to break the camel's back.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Lloyd. I know most people in outstate Minnesota are gun owners or very friendly to gun ownership. Even the Iron Range Democrats, who I get to know quite well, where I'm doing the show from here today, those people are all, if they are Democrats, you know, Kent Eakin, when he was a state senator out of Twin Valley, he was one of those guys. He was a Democrat, but he was an old school Democrat, and he was a hunter and said, hey, we need to protect Second Amendment. So I would like to think that what you're saying is true, but down in the Twin Cities, the gun thing is a very different debate. People are much more liberal on gun rules in the suburbs, and that's where most of the Democrats are these days. So I hope you're right. I just don't know how many people will change their vote because of that. I'm skeptical that a lot will, but hey, like you said earlier, if a few here and a few there, pretty soon it adds up, right?
Well, exactly. And I mean, if you're talking some little old ladies that I know don't have an AR-15 or are against ICE are sitting out there saying that they've changed their minds, you know, the people younger, I think there's more people like that than you realize.
Yes. Yep.
You know,
you're
100%
right.
I'm not talking somebody who lives in Minnesota. I'm talking somebody who lives in Iowa that's sitting out there scratching their head.
Yeah. Good stuff. Lloyd, thank you for giving a call. I appreciate the comments and the perspective. It's good to hear what people are thinking about and talking about. Appreciate you calling today.
Have a nice day, Steve.
Bye. You too, Lloyd. Take care. Thanks for giving a call to the program today. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. Mike is on the line here, and he would like to weigh in on Second Amendment conversation as well. Mike, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Steve. You know, I'm just really surprised that this Democrat wants to put on this gun bill. You know, like, will the real Nazi please stand up? Now, I'm not trying to label somebody like this, but this sounds like something that happened in Germany back in the mid-1930s when the SS went from house to house in Germany and confiscated firearms. And if you lied to them, they would take the head of the household out and make the family watch while this person was shot dead. Now, I know that nothing like that would ever happen to this country, praise God, but still, this is just, I'm not trying to over-dramatize the situation, but it's going to make our law enforcement officers look like the boogeyman, and that's not right. The Second Amendment of the Constitution is invalid, but apparently this Democrat and some of these others have never heard of the Constitution. Perhaps maybe while they're bloviating about how great they are, that they should sit down and reread the Constitution and try to bear in mind there are a lot of us gun owners out here. What are you going to do? You're going to come after us? There must be almost over 100,000 of us out here. I don't know, Steve. Maybe I'm over-dramatizing the situation, but this is getting scary.
Yeah, so, Mike, I don't think you are. And someone could listen to you saying, oh, Mike, you know, settle down, you're getting too carried away. But the most dramatic and the most oppressive things, they don't start out as being as dramatic and oppressive as they are in their final form. They start out with things like we're talking about here. And, yes, would it take us a long time to get from what this law is talking about to what you're talking about? Yes, but it has to start somewhere. And I think if you are a gun owner or you are someone who supports gun owners' rights, I think you have to stand really strong at the very beginning, because when you start eroding some things, and I've asked questions too about, okay, in order to win elections, can we give up, say, high capacity magazines? Is that something people be willing to do? I don't know the answer. I just throw it out there for a question. But people, when I say that, will respond to me and say, you know, Steve, that's just the beginning of the slippery slope. And they're right. And so you've got to kind of, yes, you want to win elections too, but there are some things that you don't want to compromise on. And if you start doing it, who knows where you end up? And are we going to end up like Nazi Germany? No. But what we're talking about there is the ability for the state to come into your house and start looking around for your guns. And who knows what else happens from there? We need to create and build a very strong wall right here and say, no, we're not
standing
for that.
This is a Pandora's box. This is a Pandora's box.
Absolutely.
And if they allow this, what's next? A semi-automatic shotguns, 22s? How about all the hunters out here and the DNR that's making money off the hunters who are buying tags?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to give up hunting in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Good grief, Steve. This has got to stop.
Yeah, no, you're right. And they're going to say, oh, we're never going to expand it that way. But why expand it anywhere where another expansion could take us to places that we really don't want to look at?
Exactly.
If you don't have anything, if you don't allow a beachhead to start, then you're not going to have a problem going on further than that. Mike, thank you for giving a call today, buddy. I appreciate you very much.
You bet.
Thanks again. All right, it's 16 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And when we come back on the program, Brett Baer got pretty interesting talking to the head of BlackRock last night. That's next. Here are your lunch specials at PetroServe USA. Valley City Spicy Cheese Sausage Mac. Harwood Salisbury Steak, West Main Avenue Tater Tot Hot Dish or French Dip Sandwich, 12th Avenue Mac and Beef, 205 NP Avenue Pulled Pork Sandwich, Yulin Chip Beef. Ada is a chef's choice today. You never know what good stuff is going to show up there. 45th Street Meatball Sub, Castleton Beef Tips and Gravy, Glendon Sloppy Joe's, Wappetit Hot Dog and Sauerkraut, and Cheyenne today. You just have a plethora of good options over there to take a look at. So check out those lunch specials at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Okay, I want to do a little segment that we call Best Thing I Heard All Day. And this is one where it can be something that has some significance. It can be something that is well said and you haven't heard it before, or something that's maybe just a little bit inspirational. And that's what I have today. So the U.S. national baseball team is playing in the World Baseball Classic. And the United States has a good team, but they were in danger of missing out on making the quarterfinal round, which is kind of once you do your pool play qualifying, then you, if you've had a good enough tournament, then you get into the qualifying round. And the United States lost to Mexico the other day, which put them in danger. And thankfully for the United States, Italy beat Mexico last night. Now, Italy and the U.S. had played earlier in the World Baseball Classic. And the winning pitcher for the Italian team was a gentleman named Michael Lorenz. He shut down the U.S. team, and a lot of people were very surprised about that. He's a right-handed pitcher. Born in Anaheim, California, pitches right now for the Colorado Rockies. And he threw 4 2/3 scoreless innings to help Italy beat the U.S. on Tuesday night at Daikin Park in Houston. It was one of the tournament's biggest upsets. And a lot of people who didn't really know much at all about Michael Lorenzen all of a sudden realized, wow, this is a really good pitcher. And so after that game was over, he had a chance to go on TV on Fox Sports 1. And what he said and how he handled the interview was something that did my heart a lot of good. And I thought, you know what? This is something I want to play for you today and best thing I heard all day. So this is after the game. Ken Rosenthal is interviewing him about the game that he pitched against Team USA when he limited them to no runs on 4 2/3 innings. And by the way, if you're thinking, well, that's not a really long start. Well, at this time of the year, they don't like to go more than 3 or 4 innings because it's still young. It's still early in the spring. Guys are, you know, kind of getting their arms in shape. They're not going to go 7 or 8 innings in something like this. They're going to run a lot of pitchers out there. But this was a Mike Lorenzen after that game where he shut down the United States, and he was the hero of the night, and this is how it sounded.
4 2/3 scoreless innings to start this game. You told me you wanted this challenge. What made you so successful tonight?
You got to just attack the zone. Obviously, they're really good hitters. They're not going to stretch the zone a ton, so you got to trust your stuff. Be in the zone, mix and match, have a good plan, and we were just able to be efficient, kind of get early outs, some ground ball outs, and just keep it rolling.
3 home runs by you guys tonight, 3 shots of espresso, 3 times wearing the Armani jacket. Michael, there's a lot of youthful exuberance on this team. What has it been like for you, a veteran, to be a part?
Those at-bats are incredible. The offense, you know, kind of energized me as a pitcher, giving me a little breathing room early. And we're just, you know, I'm talking to Nola about watching these at-bats, at-bat after at-bat. It's like we're 2 strikes to working, getting on base. And, I mean, these guys are elite that are coming in, and it's just impressive. Like you said, it's a young roster, and the at-bats that they're putting together are incredible.
Finally, we've got some family here tonight. Your wife, your mom, others as well. You lost your dad almost 10 years ago. What does it mean to you, Michael, to have this kind of performance on this stage in front of so many loved ones?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, the foundation of my faith is to rejoice in tribulation because it produces patience and perseverance, and I truly believe that. So when a challenge presents itself, even if I would have given up 10 today, I would have said, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. It's a way for me to grow in maturity, grow my relationship with Him. So success, failure, it just allows me to attack opportunity, attack challenges. It frees me up to be able to do that, and I'm grateful to be able to do that, and that's just because of my foundation and my faith.
You didn't give up 10. Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you.
Joe, back to you.
Yeah, wasn't that neat? I just thought it was just pitch perfect. It was, I think, how I would like to be in this crazy world is, you know, just when the opportunity comes up, to have something to say about who you are and what you are all about. I thought it was great. Answered a couple of questions about, you know, his performance, talked about his team and talked about his family. And then he saw an opportunity that, hey, you know, maybe I can point someone to the good Lord for what happened here tonight and happened in this opportunity. And I just thought that was such a wonderful way of saying it. The foundation of my faith is to rejoice in tribulation because it produces patience and perseverance. Even if I would have given up 10 runs today, I would have said, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Just thought that was super cool from Michael Lorenzen. And I don't know, I might have to go get myself a Michael Lorenzen baseball jersey. I'd never heard of him, to be honest with you. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but Colorado starting pitcher and a hero for Team Italy, who's now in the quarterfinals. And boy, it looks like those guys are going to have a good chance to do something big. On the other side of the fun of baseball, I saw this story as well. Valley News Live had this story from Illinois. A 15-year-old high school sophomore from Illinois has died from a head injury after being hit by a baseball during practice. He, a sophomore on the baseball team, and got struck in the head on Monday by a line drive off of a bat during baseball practice. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition and passed away. And just blunt force trauma to the head, became an organ donor. But, oh, my gosh, how would you handle that? You know, talk about adversity in life. Those things, I'd like to think that at some point you say, well, that must have been God's plan if something like that, a freak incident like that, is going to happen. But, man, that would be a difficult thing. So as we start, you know, getting ready for baseball, baseball practices, baseball games, and so forth, here in our part of the world, just want to make sure that we send that kind of reminder there as well that, hey, if you are somebody who is playing baseball, practicing, coaches, or whatever, little league teams, You know, there's certain things that you can't control in a baseball practice or a baseball game, and we all know that. But if you are one of those people who's leading those drills, leading those practices, just please be extra careful. And kiddos, I know you're having fun too, but remember that a bat and a ball, you know, I coached Little League Baseball for a while, and there's in any practice or game with warm-ups, there's a lot going on there. And it can all turn tragic in a minute. So please be careful as you're heading out there. Baseball, softball practice is getting going in our part of the world here over the next few days. All right, now BlackRock, big offender on the woke stuff on the business side of things. And their CEO is now doing kind of a mea culpa tour saying, maybe we got a little carried away on some of this. I thought it was really interesting. I'll play that for you next. You might see him cheering at a high school game or lining up a putt on the golf course. Matt Schultz isn't just one of the leading financial minds in the Bakken. He is your neighbor. And he knows that behind every investment is a family and a dream. That's why Matt takes a personal, all things considered approach to financial planning. Practical advice you can trust. Get a financial plan as solid as the North Dakota ground we walk on. Call Matt Schultz at Midwest Wealth today. Straightforward planning from a name you know. Online at RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth. All right. Well, conservatives have had issues with BlackRock, the private equity firm, for a number of years. And through the course of probably the last decade, like probably 10 years ago, I don't think I even knew who BlackRock was, but you kept hearing them every once in a while, and it wasn't anything ever really very good. They were probably very good at what they did to generate money, but they were the people that were behind massive buying of blocks of houses and, you know, going to investment firms. That didn't seem quite right, and so that was something you heard about. You're like, okay, don't love that, but I guess whatever. You know, it's not illegal to do what they're doing. But then they started kind of turning into the big brother of the woke movement, maybe about 10 years or so ago. Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock, and he was on with Brett Baer on Special Report last night on Fox News Channel. And they talked about a few things about the economy and taxes and the war in Iran and all of that. And then the conversation turned to BlackRock and some of these things that I'm talking about that they've become known for over the last 10, 12 years or so. And here's how that sounded.
Do you believe the woke era, a failed experiment, the ESG, the DEI, the kind of push for that? That when you talk about things now, you talk in a practical sense, what we can do, what we can get done. Looking back at that, how do you see it?
Society moves, the pendulum moves all the time. In BlackRock's cases, you know, we are responsible for managing money for everybody. And even today, as you said, maybe these, you know, renewables are less talked about it. I can tell you right now, we have many investors worldwide are investing in renewables, trying to emphasize solar and other things like that. They're trying to, we're working with Occidental Petroleum right now to building the best carbon capture factories in Texas right now. So do I believe the pendulum 5 years ago was too far? Yes.
You do.
Do I believe we're more pragmatic? You know, I'm personally more pragmatic, too. And I believe.
But do you think BlackRock pushed some companies a little bit further left than you thought?
It was never our intention, because our job is to be, I got to be a fiduciary to everybody who gives us money. Our responsibility, Brett, is to making sure if one of our investors wants to invest 100% in hydrocarbons in Texas, I'm investing 100% of the money in Texas. But if another state fund wants us to invest in, let's say, all green energy, we're going to do that. It's their money. But today, because of AI, and the overwhelming need for power and electricity, it can't just be one way right now. It can't just be hydrocarbons. So if you see what China is doing right now, China is rapidly building more nuclear than any other country in the world. They have the largest solar fields in the world, yet they're the biggest importer of gas and oil. And so to me, more importantly today, I think society has moved into a better position of having more pragmatism. And what you're hearing from me is I'm echoing what we're hearing from our clients.
Well, Larry, it's fascinating. Thanks very much for the time.
Interesting, the comments there. We're responsible for managing money for everybody, defending the climate war. It's still important, he said. The pendulum swung too far. It was never our intention to do anything wrong. Get all that. Look, we all make mistakes. We all do. But when the mistake is an intentional position that you're taking, it's one thing that, we've all done the, you say the wrong thing, or you take something that's not yours. I'm sorry. It's another thing if taking something that's not yours turns into shoplifting once a week. Well, there's an intent there. What were you trying to do? And in the case of BlackRock, the problem is that they were probably the biggest offender of pushing the ESG, the DEI, and now Fink is trying to distance himself and the company from all the ESG stuff because it became too toxic. But the underlying issues are still there. I would argue that BlackRock's, while their job is to make the most possible money for retirees and investors there, if they are using their trillions of dollars in influence to push for different social things that don't have anything to do with making the money, like he said, we're representing a lot of different people. But they clearly adopted a liberal social agenda over the actual financial returns of people that own the money who they were going to work for. This was more than, we just thought we were doing what was in the best interest of people. In many cases, they did what people would not have wanted them to do, and I imagine a lot of people pulled out from doing that. They have an enormous amount of voting power in the companies they invest in. They can affect change because they come in and buy, even if it's not a majority share, but some minority share of a business, they can push you to do things that you don't want to do. And Fink, I don't know where he stands. Business people generally have to be practical. They can't be, culture warriors over everything else, or they'll, lose all their money. Maybe he's that way. I don't know. But interestingly, he's doing these interviews now with Bret Baier. Republican state treasurers in Texas, West Virginia, and Florida have accused BlackRock of targeting the oil and gas industry by pressuring banks and energy companies to stop funding new fossil fuel projects. This is a real thing, and it's happened before where, forget what the bank was, one of the bigger regional banks was called out and actually sued for pulling funding, debanking. We've heard all of these things before, and BlackRock was one of those companies that was putting the pressure on financial services companies to not fund any new fossil fuel projects. So unfortunately for them and inconveniently for them, we have a new president who is going the other direction on this. And more than a dozen red states have already taken billions of dollars in state pension funds out of BlackRock as basically a direct protest on the anti-woke stuff. So it is hurting people who were involved in that, who their financial products now cannot be used by some of those states there. House Republicans have recently, according to Bloomberg, ramped up investigations into whether BlackRock and other giant firms are acting like a climate cartel. And when these big firms join international groups like BlackRock, getting involved with Climate Action 100, they're trying to collude with other financial management companies to change the behavior there. It's bypassing Congress, it's bypassing the court system to set environmental policy. And when you talk about their proxy voting record as well, BlackRock votes every year on who should sit on the boards of companies like Exxon or Walmart. And so they, for years, have supported activist board members who push for the racial equity audits and the carbon credits and reporting and all of that stuff there. So this forces you, if you're a CEO then, to kind of do what BlackRock is doing, focus on the woke politics instead of making a better product or serving customers in a better way. So I don't know. They've been really friendly with China. I guess when you're a big business, you kind of have to do a little bit of that. I understand that. But it's interesting now that we see Fink, he was on with Bret Baier. He's been to the White House as well, kind of trying to pivot back to a neutral investment firm. But like we've seen so many times now, people now are saying what you and I were saying 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it's too far. It doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing these things? And people like you and me who were the idiots, who even something as simple as, you know, work from home or work from the office, people like you and me were looking around going, how is this going to work? People work better when they're in a group in a social setting where they can team up on things and get work done. And all of a sudden that wasn't good. And all of a sudden, you know, we could require people to take a vaccine, which is a medical procedure, right? So we're going to tell people what medical procedures you have to go through to keep your job or your military status and all that. And now we find out, gosh, you know, I guess we weren't right. Well, some of us on this stuff have been an awful lot more right than wrong on some of these social issues that were rammed down our throats. And I think when I see Larry Fink now, it just seems, well, isn't that convenient that you're going to step out and say now, well, you know, maybe we didn't have this quite right at the time. So, gosh, we'll see what happens. So speaking of not getting it right, story from Star Tribune today that I landed on here as well. And it tells a story of a International Falls couple where a man was released from jail without posting bail. And he had a protection order against him by his wife. And she alleged years of abuse, said her husband was trying to kill her. Well, he got out on bail and when did just that. She said he threatened my life many times, and guess what? He killed her and then himself. And it reminds me of the discussion that we need to keep having about, you know, what are we doing? And it seems like a lot of times we hear stories about, well, this judge did this, and this person got out and did that, and why was this person on the street? Why were they released? Why did they make bail? We do this on a regular basis. We need to keep pounding the table on this, because we have people that are dead because we have either the lack of courage or the lack of laws on the books or the lack of judges that will interpret those laws correctly to put people in harm's way. And now we're seeing it here again with this particular case. And it's a very sad thing that now we have a woman who's dead because she was saying, this guy is a problem. He says he's going to kill me. He's been abusive my entire marriage. Don't let this guy out. Guy gets out, kills her, and then kills himself. So we need to keep on the warpath with this story as well. All right, Steve Alstrom Show back after this. Are you looking for a new job? Well, even if you don't live in Wahpeton or Breckenridge, you may want to think about working at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton if you're in sales or you like servicing and working on cars, because they are hiring in both their sales and their service teams. And that could mean the job of a lifetime for you. You go to work, and if you're on the sales side, you're just helping people find a great car, truck, SUV. It might be new, might be pre-owned, might be one of those beautiful Lincolns they have down there. You're seeing a ton of those in the metro area right now. Or on the service side, it might just be, you know, getting somebody back on the road. And when you get somebody back on the road, that's a big deal. Having reliable transportation gives you a good feeling. Get that car back working the way it was supposed to. And Vision Ford Lincoln is offering tremendous compensation there. In fact, the service techs down there make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends and full benefits. How great does that sound? Put your service and your sales career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. Okay, I think we have now finally filled out the trifecta of preposterous statements from the Minnesota State Legislature. Things like these seem to always come in threes, and now it seems like we have the third. The first one was Lee Finke, the transgender state representative from St. Paul, who, with a straight face, told a committee hearing that I think we need to understand that maybe some things that some would call pornography might really be research material for trans kids or other LGBT kids who are experimenting with just different lifestyles. Maybe some of this could be educational for them. So, yeah, Lee, great idea. Maybe we should just lock kids in a room. Just make them watch porn because it'll be good for them. So you thought, well, okay, that might be the only time we get that ridiculous in the state legislature. But then there was State Representative Dave Pinto, also of St. Paul, talking earlier this week. I played that for you a couple of days ago about studying the healthy role that shoplifting may play in the economy. Yeah, you know, maybe there's economic benefits here. Maybe this is something people rely on and it's stable income for them. This might be a good thing. And now we had another one. I don't know that this one quite stacks up to the first two, but it's certainly in the conversation. We're talking about the inherent right of wild rice to exist in Minnesota. And here's what that sounded like.
I would have loved to have gone into the history of this wild rice and gone into real depth around this whole subject, but I've boiled it down to just a few sentences here. So we, Senate File 3749 is adding just one sentence to the definition of our state grain. It states, it is the policy of this state to recognize the inherent right of uncultivated wild rice to exist and thrive in Minnesota. By recognizing this, the state of Minnesota is stepping into a reciprocal relationship with the plant that has been our state grain for nearly 50 years.
Now, I know that people are going to say, well, you know, certain crops, if they have certain statuses, they may have some protections here. But her name is Mary Kunish. She's from New Brighton. It seems like they all are. And she has introduced this bill to recognize the inherent right of wild rice to exist and thrive. And if we do this, the state of Minnesota will step into a reciprocal relationship with the plant. I don't know what kind of relationships you have with plants, but to me, I just like these little snippets that come up, I think, where are we? What planet are we on here where we're talking about we need to give? Like, is anybody talking about eliminating wild rice? Like, oh, you know, well, we got a lot of problems in the state, but if we could at least get rid of the wild rice, then wild rice is legendary. They're not going to pass any bills to stop fraud or lower taxes. But boy, we're going to, I don't know what kind of relationship she has with wild rice. Have there been intimate moments where she's been out in the patch of rice and things escalated, you know, and now she finds herself in some kind of a lover's triangle because, you know, sorghum was her past. I don't know, you guys, but if we have to work on recognizing the inherent rights of wild rice, we may need more facilities to house people, I guess. I don't know. I saw somebody was joking. What if wild rice exercises its inherent right to decline entering into this relationship? Would it constitute some kind of rice abuse or, oh my gosh. Look, I'm willing to make a deal here. I'm willing to leave the wild rice alone if we get Tim Walz shipped out. I'd do that deal. I'll do the trade back and forth here. So in a state with widespread fraud, we don't want to talk about that, but we will definitely try to defend the reciprocal relationship that we have with the wild rice, for gosh sakes. Okay. All right, well, that'll do it for the show today. Thank you, my friend, for being with Scott Hannon and the What's On Your Mind program coming up here momentarily. And Scotty will be along with more conversation about all things that you need to know here on the program today. Be careful, be safe out there, especially if you're traveling north or east. And it's at times like this, you just remember how tough it is. And, hey, you know, we might have some of this freezing rain. We might have that slush that starts freezing. It might be tough out there. So watch things, power lines, equipment, all that stuff that you got to be mindful of at times like these. Have a great day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Steve Hallstrom Show.